first round. Thanks to Paul for having me. Thanks to Lane for a really good reading there. It's good to get some of those references to the names of places and get the impression that no one else got them. I'm just going to start with a pretty simple poem. Doesn't need too much explanation. I suppose it's called Threads, and it's just about throwing out old clothes. Like a hunchback on the floor, its shadow thinned by candlelight. Faded jeans and jumpers fly, adding to its sloping height. Each item wears its time of year, from airy summer to winter weight. A flailing shirt falls to the floor, arms at the angle of 10 to 8. Stripes of blue and white emerge, print peeling from the chest. A freckled face fills its hole, lips and hair once caressed. Worn, but worn for something more than mere warmth, allegiance, or style. Memories and emotions woven in, for now it belongs to no pile. I see character in all things worn, the wire hanger bent out of shape, the candle's wick drowning in wax, the cotton neck's oval gape. Those stripes still hang to the edge of a chair as the hunchback is cleared away, but every fabric sheds its skin. Loosened threads will always stay. So that's one of about a quarter of this book here. It's like rhyming poems. I suppose over time, let's say 5 years ago, I would have had half rhyme, half free verse, like just very much a change in phase of, it's probably natural, I think a lot of poets might start out with rhyme, thinking that that's the way you write poetry or whatever, depends on what age you are when you start. But it's kind of a phase where to the quarter of the poems are rhymes, I'd say over time, like it phase out or it'll be more rare. So the next one is a free verse one. It's kind of a sciencey poem. I write a fair bit about science. Can you all hear me at the back there okay?
Yeah.
So this poem, I suppose it's not directly about science, it's more about opinions, but using as a metaphor, the theory of relativity, basically. It's called Relativity. Opinions are the crudest things, delivered like a trumpet solo out of time. They come in clusters, defined by their neighbours. Saturn's moons follow like besotted suitors. Push them gently, they follow Jupiter instead. Earth was flat, so inflated by science, flat as a Renaissance priest. Its flatness grew from the dream of fullness. Sonnets, songs, and painted scenes are fashioned from comparison. Analogy their core, the flare of a tail, miles from the sun. Can you measure anything in a vacuum? These lines could be eclipsed by Whitman, Frost, or Poe, or your nearest neighbour. And the next poem I have here is a Sligo-ish poem, if you're not sick of it already. Sligo, yeah, it does get mentioned directly. It's kind of about transition from Sligo to Galway. I think it's pretty clear in the poem what kind of triggered it off. The taste of raspberries. I bit into a peach, and somehow the sour kick of flesh softened by 4 days waiting reminded me of raspberries, Dunali raspberries, skulking behind the fir trees of my childhood home. We pinched them off like eggs from a nest, we on our way across the rocky stream dipping and tumbling to Sligo town, or whipped by low twigs. As we scurried between trees, a burst football or two kicked to the base of each trunk. Sometimes kids from fields away would come to play. Our cousins measured in roads, they'd steal a berry or two. Today, I'll buy my fruit in the Galway market, sure to pluck a Sligo face, shining between the shoulders and scars. Here is where they come some Saturdays. I cross the Carib, Atlantic spray wet to my window. I play in Salt Hill too, but I've never found a raspberry at the bottom of the ocean. Thanks very much. Next poem it's about a painting by Caravaggio, Supper at an House. I suppose it's like my favourite painting, I always think it's very vivid and stuff. I also had the idea I would write something about it, probably a poem. I think I was just in my head for like a few years before I kind of really thought how I would do it or whatever. And it just ended up being kind of writing the poem from the perspective of the painting in a way, inviting the viewer. So Supper at Emmaus. It's about a scene in the Bible after Jesus has died, and I think he, two of the apostles are having a meal somewhere, and he's there, but they don't realize it's Jesus until he blesses bread beside him. So it's one of the many pages in the Bible. Supper at Emmaus. Come, step closer to my falling light, my dark edges, where a pilgrim's hand extends, and ruffled sleeves invite crooked lines of shadow, thick curls of brown hair. Jesus, wearing the face of a youth, blesses the bread, the chicken, and fruit, with eyes lowered, fingers curved toward his palm, and they realize their crucified master, here in an unfamiliar form, to share their supper. His plump, beardless face, no longer gaunt and frail, their arms and elbows flung out, fingers pressed into the ribs of a chair, they form a ring from which their host is removed. But you may come, reach for the hanging berries, step closer to my falling light, my dark edges. Next poem is...
So what are you going to do, Violin and Drew?
Huh?
Your Facebook post said that if you, if Ireland
was there, Ireland drew with the match. I read half the poem about that in Nigeria, but you know what happened. I'll read it anyway. So we need to chip up
and
chip up. I'm going to leave for last for good help with emotions. This poem is one I read a good while back. I don't think I've read it since in public because I read it upstairs at like an open mic in the Roisin Dubh in Galway. And I didn't really explain beforehand that it's about like an animal stalking prey, but I wanted to like read it. Like it's kind of in one line, one word line, so it's kind of like a slow stepping poem is how I imagined it. That's why I wrote it that way. But I didn't kind of explain that menacing approach, why I did took that approach. So I think people who heard me read it thought it was just a bit of a psycho. I could see a couple of lads in the back just laughing their asses off thinking, this guy's a real freak. People come from Sligo to Galway, I don't think that. Called Canines at the Ready. Creeping, slowly, staring, intensely, stepping, stopping, stepping. You, chew, I am riveted, cloaked in the silence of camouflage. I value you in protein, lust for your flesh. It is my right to take you, stepping, stopping, stepping, still oblivious, still chewing, unlistening. I come closer, ready to strike. I pounce, wrestle, open my mouth. There's daggers in my smile. Welcome to my body. Sometimes I think poems, you know, kind of obscurity versus kind of totally understanding what the poem is about, you know, there's a balance there sometimes, and like typically I go for what, you know, what's should be generally clear, at least the poem that I like to write and read, with some kind of interesting twists and phrases, like a bit like I described with Bob Dylan phrases where he just kind of, what exactly did it mean there? I really like it, but I don't know exactly what it was. But this is one of the few poems I wrote where I think it's, the whole poem is obscure, and it's basically about emotions, kind of hiding emotions and stuff. It's called Hemispheres. A face of sand, far from the fire of the sun. That will be my face, flat as lake ice, bound in chains held by the brain's impulse. I will be a reptile, flaunt my indifference, glad to feel no degree of joy. What could I make without that fiery flush, a page of morning snow? Symbolic shapes are struck beyond a creasing face, but stories are revealed in eyes. Paintings, poems, all their kind, scream of joy and despair, like jagged, weeping women. Smouldering words, colours branded on canvas, how far can they fulfil? Shadows fall on them, the shape of a child, each artist a puppeteer. Parents know we are burnt with both, we neither melt nor drown. Yeah, I'm going to read a very short, simple one now. It's called Sunday. coffee and scones on a Sunday morning. The bumblebee hum of a lawnmower feels the scent of cut grass as light streams from the sun. In the shade, pages spread, magazines flung to the corner like ruffled orphans. Indented butter crowns the soft bread. A coffee ring on page 7. There's another rhyming one, it's called Final Draft. Basically about, I suppose I think that, whatever, a poem or a story or anything isn't necessarily finished. Even if it's publishing something, if you have an idea, why not add to it or do whatever, and keep it on your computer at least, and that can be your latest version or whatever. Final Draft. In a long, bright, cluttered room, a man has made his second home, where tools and thoughts fill the shelves, goaded each day to twist and roam. The smell is of nature prostituted, damp and stale, of things shaped well. He trims a little off the cheek, pinches the brow to a subtle swell. His cupped palm reshapes the skull, his thumb bends the crooked nose. A head shaped through the ears, each day it reforms and grows. He finds fault in familiarity, a kind of distance where every flaw grows like a tumour and clarity comes. Through little failures, the closer he draws. Like a body's cells which die and change, though the person's quite the same. But bodies wither where words flourish, the stone can carry an end. The artist's mind is a restless thing, each light a new cud to chew. Even in sleep, his knuckles twitch, ready to do or undo. And in my room, a drawer leaks, where all my poems are wet. One day they'll be dry and hard, the final draft is dead. I was a big fan of biology as well as English in like leaving cert class in Summer Hill College in Sligo. And one of the things I remember thinking was really interesting was the life cycle of the liver fluke. And it's like, it's got a certain amount of hours after it's born, basically defined. I think it's a sheep or a cow, and there's two different types of hosts and different types of liver fluke. And then it has to get to a river and penetrate a snail's flesh, and it's kind of gooey in here. I write a poem based on it and see how it came out. The title is the Latin or scientific name for liver fluke. I think it's pronounced Fasciola hepatica. You are born into feces on dew-laden grass. Emerge from your egg at 10 degrees, crawl through bending blades till water sings like a siren. By a rock, a constellation of frogs spawn. Hours, the flow is curled and fast. Hours of swirling, searching, survival grows dimmer. The humped back of a snail, your spine penetrates its soft flesh. You feed as it feeds, live through its life. Hairs loosen, cells change, larvae form within you. A tail whips as you burrow free from the carcass. The empty shell, lined with rotting flesh, drifts with the current. A green path tips through the water, from blade to soggy blade. You struggle on. Each passing animal could be your survival. A muck-coated leg plunges into the soil and passes on. The grass grows dry and you suffer. Evening closes, offering dew. Warm breath passes over you. The crunch of jaws around you taken into the mouth, the clump of wet grass. On you move, over the tongue, until you reach the liver. Fattening, attached to the bile duct, you are where you belong. This year and last year I went to the festival in Bantry, the Literature Festival, and just really loved it there. And last year actually I wrote this poem just based on how it just felt like enclosed in the town and just wrapped around literature, and just really liked the atmosphere there, So it's called Birds Over Bantry. She lay asleep in the B&B, twitching lips in the fiction of a dream. My body had found its perfect peace, swimming in a toe of the sea. A writer had swum it the day before, and there was an itch about this place, to take the page like a lusty fuck, adrift in a mad race. We ginted and drank, baby blue and I, light as the birds in the bantry sky. And there was green where sky should have been, an impertinent hill like a big brother, throwing its shoulder over the town where faces met over and over. English accents, Steve Miller, came over the sea on a giddy remembrance of wild music and poetry, what we found bore no resemblance. We'd ride even Ma Murphy, Bambino and I, as the birds sailed in the bantry sky. Trucks struggled over tight streets, so we hugged the warty strips of path in the balmy air across cancerous road for electric music and chat. She sought books, found Brendan Beaton. I sought Wi-Fi and a decent meal. But all we needed was there in sight of the library's chunky mill wheel. We shucked and humoured Sandrina and I, and the birds were pages in the bantry sky. John Ella O'Kirky. It's called Rebel Town. I couldn't think of a better title. Anyone comes up with a better title, please let me know. Drag us into the blackness of Mutton Lane, clinking glasses, sliding soles, a new candle embedded in glass. Send us to a local who tell us of a restaurant named Zach's, where smoky noodles river around the baked bolero. So that particular river's run dry. Reveal your past and names, Winthrop, Marlborough, Bowling Green, but let us wonder at the birth of Sober Lane. Cleave Ireland from our minds, with the spicy air of a foreign country, aware that this town welcomed medieval traders who sailed from Spain. Take her voice and tune it to your own peculiar music, lifting like your pilgrim hill by the noisy art of the coffee roasters. There, vibes and scribes webbed her eyes till it crossed the river. Send us down the curtain street, and we watch for a gap to cross over. Thank you all very much. But the next poem, it's a poem for four speakers. It's another kind of sciencey poem, specifically about evolution. And it's just for the idea of, you know, evolution comes up with some crazy ideas, nature and all that, to see, you know, a hummingbird with a perfectly shaped to go into a flower. How did that work out? And, I'm not a believer in intelligent design, so I came up with evolution by committee. So I'm going to welcome to the stage Elaine, she can do it again, and David O'Doherty and Sandra Coffey. Thanks. Evolution by committee, and Elaine's going to start. Thanks.
Remember that idea I had? Lungs.
You also suggested the four-assed elephants.
What's our ethos again?
Survival.
How about a flower, descent of female bee? And hey, why not its appearance too?
What would be the point of that?
To pass on its pollen without producing nectar.
Crazy, but I like it.
Here's my idea, a rat with wings.
How original.
You've done that already.
What do you mean?
The bat?
I have a much better idea. A rat with bristling hairs tipped with venom.
Yes, I can see it. A little ball of tightening muscle, the hair standing firmer, clear droplets forming, deterring any predator.
Enough!
All my ideas, they're so avant-garde. Remember the eye, the octopus? Who else could have fashioned feathers from scales?
We've all had good ideas.
Not you, you're boring.
But when I came up with sexual reproduction, you were all interested.
True.
What started this off?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
How about a creature, completely hairless, living in a cold climate?
Ridiculous.
But wait, it has the ability to take the hair of another species and put it over itself. Its vision is weak, but...
it finds a way to improve it.
Yes.
Brilliant! But maybe it could have some hair?
Maybe.
What other ridiculous traits would it have?
It's not ridiculous.
Stop. Next issue. Any ideas for the winter season?
Four.
Thanks, guys. Okay. I guess it's the Italian 1990 poem. Probably don't need to explain this. I think a lot of people remember from the World Cup, Ireland 1990, the first time in the World Cup. And it's our biggest moment. We got to the last eight in the world for our little country. Tomoth Day against Bonner. He walks up, places the ball, approaches slow as a timid antelope. The hunched man in grey follows the trail of his eyes, the turn of his hips. Green and golden tides are wet. Timofte strikes, his posture betrays. Bonner says. Thank you.